This is Age of Treason Radio. On the White Network.
And Daddy always smiled, took me by the hand, saying someday you'll understand. Well, I'm here to tell you now that you never mother's gone. You better learn it fast, you better learn it young, for someday it never comes.
With your host, Tan Stoffel.
The title of this installment is Jewish Crypsis, Half Jews, Part 4. This should be the last part, and I am finally going to get to what the first three parts have been building to, which is a discussion of the Nuremberg Laws. And the first three parts were to set the context. And first, I'd like to tie up two loose ends from that previous discussion. The first is an article this week that came out with the title Pew Survey About Jewish America Got It All Wrong by J.J. Goldberg in the Jewish Daily Forward. And I'll cite this because I think this is very much in line with my take on the poll, which is, how did I describe it again, the sky is falling type of attitude that the Jews, most Jews, seem to be reacting to the poll, that it was some sort of earth-shatteringly bad news. J.J. Goldberg describes that as a dark portent of doom. But he says, take away the errors, and what you get is a very different narrative. It would go something like this. Despite decades of warnings that American Jewry is dissolving in the face of assimilation and intermarriage, a major new survey by one of America's most respected social research organizations depicts a Jewish community that is growing more robustly than even the optimists expected. And that's the point I made about their birth rates, the birth rates of the Jewish Jews, the Orthodox Jews, the ones who take their racial purity most seriously, are double what the average American birth rates are. And there really is no threat to their, no demographic threat to the Jews. It's, they're just throwing off quasi-Jews into the population around them. And that's what I'm going to focus on, in this part here is that throwing off. Where do those quasi-Jews go that the Jews don't want as part of themselves while they're complaining that, about Jewish continuity? You know, this gets at one of the aspects of Jewish personality traits and this tendency that they have as a group to make a scene about certain things. And it almost always has to do with disguising or distracting from something else, from a more important realization, in this case, that they're actually thriving and growing. They're complaining that it's a disaster very loudly so that everybody else who even hears about it thinks it, oh, it's some sort of disaster the Jews are complaining about. The other loose end I'd like to tie up here is the first article I ran into when I started researching what there was out on the internet about half Jews. And in many of the links that I've provided in and sources I've cited in the previous three parts, in almost every part, one or more of them referred to this article in Wikipedia titled Who is a Jew? So it's authoritative, at least in that sense, that everybody seems to point at this article as somehow relevant to this issue of half Jews. And what we've seen, just to sum it up, in looking closely at this phenomena of half Jews and part Jewishness, is the biological nature of it, the and the fact that the Jews can't help themselves but lie about that they pretend it's about religion and all the rest of that. So listen to parts 1 through 3 to get more details on that. But this article about who is a Jew is a long article, but it contains many of the things that I've already mentioned. Let's see. One of the first things it mentions, though, puts it right up at the head of the article as a kind of a way of scaring people away, I think, by invoking the Nazis. It says, the question was of importance during the rule of the Nazi Party in Germany, which persecuted the Jews and defined them for the government's purposes by the Nuremberg Laws. And so that's how I knew that this issue of half-Jews and Jewishness was going to come to the Nuremberg Laws. The rest of this article about who is the Jews is dedicated to two main points of view, one being the Jews' point of view, and I'll summarize that in a bit here, but the other big part of it is the Nazis, the evil Nazis, who also had their definition for Jews. And the contrast is amazing to me because, as I've discovered in digging into what Jews think a Jew is they think it's based on ancestry. They think it's based on who your parents are. They think, to put it bluntly, that it's biological or primarily biological. And that's what the Nazis thought, too. That's what the National Socialist Party in Germany thought. That's what the Nuremberg Laws are about. But I'm skipping ahead a bit. One of the most interesting parts of this Who is a Jew Wikipedia article is the section that's titled Halakhic Perspective under Religious Definitions. According to the traditional rabbinic view, that is maintained by all branches of Orthodox Judaism, Conservative Judaism, and Reform Judaism. That spectrum of from the most serious Jewish Jews down to the most liberal and assimilated, most trying to be like non-Jews in appearance, the Reform Jews, is one way to describe it. The Jews who take their Jewishness most seriously to the Jews who don't take Jewishness so seriously, they all agree on this halakhic perspective. The main difference being that the Reform Jews are more tolerant when it comes to mixture. They accept half Jews, whether the father or the mother is a Jew. They allow the children to be considered Jews, whereas the Orthodox don't. They exclude half right from the get-go. And that's really what it comes down to when you read this halakhic religious perspective on who is a Jew. It's about, implicit in it is this right for Jews to exclude who they want. They include who they want and they exclude who they want. It's just built right in. This discussion just takes it for granted that the Jews have every right to just define by birth that certain people aren't Jews. That's just the way it is. One of the interesting paragraphs here is they note, as a result of these Jewish laws, mere belief in the principles of Judaism does not make one a Jew. Similarly, non-adherence by a Jew to the 613 mitzvot or even formal conversion to another religion does not make one lose one's Jewish status. This is according to the Orthodox Jews, or the halakhic perspective that all of these different supposed denominations adhere to. Thus, the immediate descendants of all female Jews, even apostates, are still considered to be Jews, as are those of all of their female descendants, even those descendants who are not aware that they are Jews or practice a religion other than Judaism, are defined by this perspective as Jews. So being a Jew is not about what's in your head. It's not about the beliefs that you have. Reiterating that is a section even earlier in the same article under the title Jews Who Have Practiced Another Religion, and it makes the point, and this came up in the Pew poll. It says, in general, Orthodox Judaism considers individuals born of Jewish mothers to be Jewish, even if they convert to another religion. Reform Judaism views Jews who convert to another religion as non-Jews. So the Pew poll actually took the Reform view in that it considered Jews who had converted to Christianity, for instance, as what did it call them, people of Jewish descent or Jewish background. But considered them in the section of non-Jews, whereas the Orthodox Jews, the Jewish Jews, the ones who have the firmest grip on what halakhic means, what it means to be a Jew, they don't go by that. They actually say that a Jew is a Jew, even if they convert to some other religion, even if they don't know they're a Jew, they're a Jew. So that's the main part of this article when it, as far as Jewish attitudes about who's a Jew. Those are the high points. Now, in the section about the Nazis, and it actually just titles it Anti-Semitic Definitions, the question, who is a Jew, is also sometimes of importance to non-Jews. It has had exceptional significance historically when considered by anti-Jewish groups for the purpose of targeting Jews for persecution or discrimination. The definition can impact on whether a person may have a certain job, live in certain locations, receive a free education, live or continue to live in a country, or be imprisoned or executed. You know, they describe it in very sinister terms there, but the reality is it's about whether other people besides Jews have the right to define themselves the same way the Jews do and to exclude other people from themselves just like the Jews do. And it's a measure of how dominant the Jewish way of seeing things through Jewish eyes that our society has become, that the Jewish way of seeing things is so dominant that most people read this kind of stuff. Here it is side by side, the Jewish definition of who's a Jew and excluding other people from being a Jew. And then there's everybody else who is not allowed to do that implicitly. We're not allowed to exclude, especially we're not allowed to exclude Jews. We're not allowed to define ourselves as not Jews. Jews define themselves as not us. But if you simply flip it around and say, hey, wait a minute, I recognize the Jews too, and you're not us. That's anti-Semitism. That's the biggest crime in the world, according to Jews. And it makes sense, according to Jews, that it is. Because of what they are, who they are, and how they go about what they are, which is not exactly symmetric with non-Jews. And hopefully I'll have some time to talk about that before the end here. In a section titled Nazism, it says, the Nazi regime instituted laws discriminating against Jews, declared a race by the Nazis, and thus needing a working definition of who is a Jew as to its law-defined race system. These definitions almost completely categorized persons through the religions followed by each individual's ancestors according to membership registries. Thus, personal faith or individual observance, as well as the religious definitions of Judaism as given by Halakha, were mostly ignored. There it is. Just a few paragraphs up the page, it talks about how the Jewish Jews, the most Orthodox Jews, the ones who define what halakha is, say the same thing. It's mind-boggling, really, to see this kind of chutzpah, this kind of arrogance of demanding for yourself treatment of a certain type and expecting that everyone else isn't going to say anything about it, isn't going to point it out, isn't going to see the double standard as a double standard that handicaps them. To hear the Jews describe it, whichever Jew it was that wrote this page, or the many Jews that contributed to it, they're the ones that are handicapped. They're the ones that are the victims. But they're not prevented from excluding other people, and that's one of the main points of this installment here, is that the Jews are free to exclude and arrogate that freedom for themselves, demand it for themselves, while they simultaneously demand of the societies around them that they not exclude, especially the Jews. One of the, moving on to another article now, a brief article, one of these silly wikianswers.com pages is titled, Why Did the Germans Write the Nuremberg Laws? And I'll cite this because I think this is one of those little pearls of common wisdom, or that reflects the common understanding of people who haven't thought about it too deeply and who have just absorbed what they've learned in Holocaust education in the schools or from the mainstream Jewish media. The answer is very simple. That's provided on this page. Why did the Germans write the Nuremberg Laws? The answer is to take away the rights of German Jews. Which, my understanding, and I'm no specialist in what happened in National Socialist Germany, but again, that answer puts it from the Jewish point of view. From the Jewish point of view, the purpose of the Nuremberg Laws was to harm Jews. That was the purpose as far as they could see, and that's what they want everyone else to think. In reality, I think it's pretty clear to me from the podcasts I've done in the past that the German National Socialists incorporated the science of race, the scientific understanding of the biology of race and ancestry, as the Jews prefer to call it, into their politics, into their policymaking, and the formation of their nation. They understood that the Germans and Jews were distinct peoples. They had mixed somewhat, and that was the purpose of the Nuremberg Laws, was to make a clear distinction. Who is a Jew? Who isn't a Jew? What are Jews forbidden from doing? You know, how are we going to separate, given the partial mixture that has occurred already that we're faced with? How do we deal with that? That's what was behind the Nuremberg Laws. It wasn't about punishing the Jews because they were Jews. It was recognizing what the Jews themselves demand, which is to be recognized as a distinct people. They just want to be recognized as distinct so that they can be treated specially. When the National Socialists came to power in Germany, they recognized the Jews were distinct, but that the Germans were the special ones, that the Germans were deserving of special treatment, and that the Jews were aliens who needed to leave Germany. And so the rules were passed to exclude Jews from positions of power and to encourage them in as many ways as possible to leave, to get out, to go somewhere else. None of this is really spelled out in any of these articles. You can go search about the Nuremberg Laws, try and research it, and you won't find sympathetic interpretations of the Nuremberg Laws sympathetic to the Germans. You only find interpretations of the Nuremberg Laws that are sympathetic to Jews, that basically demonize and pathologize the Germans for even thinking that Jewishness can be defined in terms of ancestry. When at the very same time, if you go and you look into, well, what do the Jews say about who's a Jew? It's all about ancestry. It's all about who your parents are. So at the same time, they're making little cuckoo signs about the Nazis and how what racists they were and how stupid, crazy, evil they were. The Nazis were just dealing with reality, and the reality that the Jews are very well aware of themselves. In the article, the Wikipedia article on the Nuremberg Laws, which is linked from that Who is a Jew article, has a few interesting things. Some of the stuff I've already alluded to here, but after the takeover of power in 1933 by Hitler, Nazism became an official ideology incorporating anti-Semitism as a form of scientific racism. Well, of course, that's from the Jewish point of view. From the German point of view, they didn't use the term scientific racism. They used the word Rassenhygiene, which I focused on in a couple of podcasts previously. I'll link in the program post here. The truth is that the National Socialists were on the cutting edge of the science of race. The Nuremberg Laws were passed in 1935, in the middle of September, as I understand, so we're just a few weeks past that that date, whatever it was exactly. The enactment of laws identifying who was Jewish made it easier for the Nazis to enforce legislation restricting the basic rights of German Jews. Again, that's, you know, implying that the whole purpose was just to restrict the basic rights of German Jews, rather than to say, the Jews aren't Germans. Get out. Leave. The Nuremberg Laws classified people with four German grandparents as German or kindred blood, while people were classified as Jews if they descended from three or four Jewish grandparents. A person with one or two Jewish grandparents was a Mischling, a crossbreed, or of, quote, mixed blood, unquote. These laws deprived Jews of German citizenship and prohibited racially mixed marriages between Jews and other Germans, similar to what the Jews do in Israel today. Although the laws were first applied, were first aimed at Jews a week after becoming intact, the laws applied also to, quote, gypsies, Negroes, or their bastard offspring, unquote. The Nuremberg Laws also included a ban on sexual relations between people defined as, quote, Aryan, unquote, and non-Aryan, unquote, and prevented Jews from participating in German civic life. These laws were both an attempt to return the Jews of 20th century Germany to the position of the Jews that Jews had held before their emancipation in the 19th century, although in the 19th century, Jews could have evaded restrictions by converting. This was no longer possible. The implication here is that it was somehow the German plan to enslave the Jews, to make them lesser people, but keep them in the country rather than distinguish them and say, get out, you're not Germans. That was the purpose of taking away German citizenship from them, was to make it clear, you're not Germans, you're Jews. And just about everything else here that you can – all the other details in these sympathetic to Jews points of view, you can read between the lines of what it is from the German sympathetic point of view. It's easy to do, but you have to be aware that there is such a thing as a point of view. And no, you know, Wikipedia is infamous for its supposed ban on a point of view. You're supposed to have a neutral point of view when you write articles. But of course, anything having to do with the Jews, there are Jews crawling all over, making sure that it's sympathetic to Jews. Under the section titled Nazi Eugenics and Racial Belief, the Nuremberg Laws were based on a belief in scientific racism and derived from a primitive understanding of genetics. As I said, the German scientists working on race and hygiene and genetics were actually at the forefront of genetics. There wasn't any more advanced research going on anywhere in the world. And as we know now in retrospect, too, that the genetics was right. Their racial genetic understanding of race, they were on the right track. They had the best possible understanding they could have based on the technology of the day. Wilhelm Marr, just to make a point about this business about Jewish emancipation in the 19th century, Wilhelm Marr was writing in the 1870s. I talked about him a couple of podcasts ago and his pamphlet, The Victory of Judaism Over Germanism. And he made the point that his main point was that this had been a long-term war, and that the Jews were victorious in this long-term war, and that the main characteristic of that long-term war is that was that all along the Jews had been mistaken as a religion instead of as a people, instead of as a race, or racially as a, you know, separate and distinct people from the Germans and from all Europeans, separate from all Europeans. To the point of this idea about the Nazis were operating under primitive understanding of genetics, today we have much better understanding of genetics. And in fact, as I said, the Jews in Israel understand that genetics is real and that you can tell who's a Jew or not by looking at their DNA. And I'll link an article here from the end of July of this year titled Russian Speakers Who Want to Make Aliyah, that is, move to Israel and become a citizen, could need a DNA test. And it's about how Jews who can't prove through legal records that their parents are Jews have to submit to a DNA test in order to prove it. And you'd never know from reading mainstream media or watching mainstream media in the U.S. that it's even possible that there is such a thing as a Jewish DNA that you could tell by DNA. That's just a crazy Nazi racist idea, according to the mainstream sources. Now, I'll link also there's a U.S. Holocaust Museum translation of the Nuremberg race laws as they were originally written, the 1935 laws. And the amazing thing about this is, and I can't speak to the provenance of the translation, who did the translation, but whatever, in reading it, it all seems perfectly plain language to me. The main takeaway that I have from this, it fits on a single printed page. It's so brief and so straightforward that it puts to shame the kind of laws that get passed today in the Judaized democracies that we have today, these 15,000 page healthcare laws, or just about any other kind of law, is a book, essentially. Here it is on a single page. Now, there was some confusion after, and I won't read what the details are. I'm getting close to the end here. But there was confusion that came out afterwards. Well, you talk about Jews and you talk about Germans and you forbid marriage between Jews and Germans. Well, what about the people in between? What about half Jews? What about them and all of the various shades in between, the part Jews, and what about people married to Jews already, and what about their kids and all the rest? And as far as I can see, there's nothing dastardly there. It all makes sense what the various rules and regulations that they, the clarifications that they came up with afterward about who was a Jew, the first degree, the second degree, Mischlings, the even the fact that you see sometimes some of these people talking about the fact that the Germans considered somebody with three Jewish grandparents to be a, quote, full Jew, as mocking the idea. When it's, look at Jews, how Jews define Jewishness. It's supposedly all about just all you need is your mother to be Jewish and her mother to be Jewish and so on. And they're supposedly a full Jew. They aren't in reality, but the Jews pretend that they are in public. Anyway, the Jews, in describing these Nuremberg laws, get kind of carried away with themselves. One of these things that I'll cite talks about depriving them of their rights as human beings. And another says that Hitler was just trying to get rid of these parasites and impose racial conformity on society. I don't doubt that Hitler called them parasites. I think it's an accurate description. I think that's the asymmetry, is we've got parasites that want to live amongst your people, and then you've got the host, which would be whites, Europeans, who aren't served by those parasites, who are actually harmed by them. And so, of course, the standards aren't going to be the same. The treatment isn't going to be the same. The Jews really don't respect anyone else's right to exclude them. And that's why, because they're parasites.